Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio Network. If you'd like to call into the show, the phone number is 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008. There were notable developments in the coronavirus pandemic since the last show. Last week, the federal government's Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, finally admitted that its records show less than 10,000 of the U.S. deaths attributed to COVID-19, as the virus is also known, have been solely due to the virus itself. The rest of the more than 180,000 deaths which have been attributed to COVID-19 involved other illnesses such as heart disease, kidney failure, and cancer. In other words, coronavirus was a contributing factor in all these deaths, but was the sole cause of mortality in only about 6%. Additionally, the New York Times and other media have reported that there have been a huge number of positive tests for COVID-19 that actually should have been negative. That is, many of the tests resulted in being identified as positive, active infection, when they should have been negative because the incidence of detection of the virus was so minute as to be harmless, but due to a process whereby there are multiple amplifications of the amount of virus detected, the tests turn out positive. All this confirms suspicions that the COVID-19 pandemic is being politicized to terrorize the population of the planet, destroy economies, and serve as the impetus for radical economic, environmental, political, and social change being called for by the political left and their globalist world government-promoting allies. As I've said in the past, 80% of people who have coronavirus have mild or no symptoms, but it's still being treated as the black plague of the 21st century. There has already been enormous change here in the U.S. due to the pandemic. Here's an audio segment from Tucker Carlson Tonight, August 24, titled, "Where do we get our country? When do we get our country back?" Please play soundbite one.
Have you been to America lately? A lot of Americans really haven't. For months, most of us have stayed close to home. We had to. So the next time you get on a plane and visit a couple of American cities, you may be surprised, especially if you remember those cities well from before the pandemic. An awful lot has changed in a short time. Many stores and restaurants are closed. You expect that. Churches are locked on Sunday morning. That's weird. The streets seem empty except for the parks, which are full of the homeless. When you do see people, they tend to be wearing masks and they won't get close to you. It's a very strange experience. The country has changed a lot. The culture has changed a lot, and really not for the better. So the question is, how long will this last? How long do we have to endure this? When do we get our country back? When can we live like we used to live back in February? That question is too rarely asked, and in fact, asking it is actively discouraged. At first, you'll remember, the authorities told us we could resume our lives when hospital admissions tapered off, when we flattened the curve. The curve stayed flat. In most places, it never bent. So we got a new benchmark for when we can get back to normal, when we get a vaccine. Everything will be fine once we can vaccinate against COVID-19. Many in authority told us that. They're still telling us that. The state of Virginia has announced that when a vaccine finally does arrive, it will be mandatory. Not all vaccines. Virginia will not require vaccines for hepatitis or HIV. They won't require a vaccine for meningitis either, despite the fact that meningitis kills a lot more, say, college students than coronavirus does. But once we get a corona vaccine, they're telling us, all will be well. But now they've changed that. It's not true anymore. According to a new announcement from the World Health Organization, a vaccine, even if we get one, will not be the end of all of this. It will never end. You can get your injection, they'll make you get it, but you'll still be under arrest. The World Health Organization says that finding a vaccine is not the goal. Reordering society is the goal. Quote, we cannot go back to the way things were. That's a direct quote from the leader of the World Health Organization, Dr. Tedros, who, by the way, is not really a doctor. Because COVID-19 is not a public health crisis, really, or even a mere virus. According to Tedros, COVID-19 is, in fact, and this may surprise you, COVID-19 is really about global warming. As he puts it, quote, the COVID-19 pandemic has given new impetus to the need to accelerate efforts to respond to climate change. Bet you didn't see that coming. Bill Gates did. He agrees with that wholeheartedly. Earlier this month, Gates posted an essay to his personal website, which you probably haven't seen, arguing that the lesson of the corona pandemic is that the rest of us will have to sacrifice even more to save the Earth from warming. Now, for people who are not billionaire global influencers, this is all pretty confusing. Quick, what does the coronavirus have to do with climate change? Well, for one thing, China caused both of them. That's the obvious link. But that's definitely not the point Dr. Tedros and Bill Gates are making. Both of them bow before China. They would never meaningfully criticize the Chinese government. So you can be assured that's not the connection they're drawing. No. For Dr. Tedros and Bill Gates, pandemic and climate change share a very different connection. Both are useful pretexts for mass social control. Both are essentially unsolvable crises they can harness to bypass democracy and force powerless populations to obey their commands. Now it makes sense.
As I've said about Bill Gates on previous programs, he is the prototypical globalist leftist, and he's called for this. There will no ever end the pandemic, and pandemic will never end until we get everybody in the world vaccinated. We got to have a vaccine. He's pushing all these vaccines. He and his wife have got their charitable foundation, and they've been pouring money into the vaccine developments. He had called earlier for a decade of vaccines, which ended – that was in 2010. And during that decade, his involvement with the big pharma vaccine makers has resulted in doubling of his net worth from 50 to 100 million. Of course, you know he's very well and very much involved in business dealings with the Red Chinese, helping them develop – surveillance mechanisms so they can control their, better control their populations, and so on and on and on goes. Week before last, the Republican National Convention was held. In contrast to the drab, usually leftist platitudes and denunciations of the Democratic National Convention the previous week, I found the RNC event full of powerful, inspiring speeches from a host of powerful people. The culmination of the RNC was President Trump's 70-minute acceptance speech that critics said was too long and which was delivered late in the evening. While it may have been a bit lengthy, I have to agree with radio talk show host Rush Limbaugh that almost anyone – that if anyone has a right to give a lengthy speech, it's Trump. And it was nevertheless a great end to a great convention for me. Let's hear what else Limbaugh had to say on his program August 28th about the president's speech. Play soundbite two, please.
But you know, last night's – speech by President Trump, I have to be very upfront with you. It lifted me up, folks. It made me inspired. It lifted me up. It inspired me to be assured that the future holds promise, that the best is yet ahead if President Trump is reelected. And whatever you're going through, whether it's an illness, small business in trouble, the event last night truly was inspiring. It assured me that our future does indeed hold promise, that there's somebody in the White House who literally does care about the future of the country and your future and my future. And we can rest assured that this is the case having watched it last night. I saw people complaining, the Fox News people complaining that the speech was too long, 70 minutes. Let me tell you, if anybody has earned the right to take as much time as he wants to explain himself, it's Donald Trump. The man has been slandered and libeled multiple times a day, every day, for 4 years. He has been unfairly criticized. He's been lied about. He has been the subject of a search and destroy campaign. And this entire week, the Republican National Convention has been a focused period of time for Trump and his administration to tell their story. And if it took him 70 minutes last night to do it, fine and dandy. They say, well, You know, I didn't seem to have a whole lot of energy out there. He was not going to win no matter what he did. If he had done Trump at a rally, they would have said he wasn't presidential. If he would have come out and been really tough and started calling Biden a bunch of names, they would have said he's not presidential, he's not taking it seriously. So last night, I thought he was actually really good. The only thing that upset me about it going long was people were falling asleep in the Eastern time zone and missing some of it. And I thought it was exactly what was called for. It was calm. It was assuring. And you know something else? Remember the pre-publicity in all this. The pre-publicity was that Trump was going to come out, he was going to fire on all cylinders, and he was going to be ripping Biden and Kamala Harris a new one. And that's not what we got last night. We got a guy who was self-assured, who was confident. I couldn't tell when he was on the prompter and when he wasn't. He was funny in a deadpan, slow-stated or downplayed kind of way. And he was unthreatening. You know, with the pre-publicity on this was, well, this guy, he's going to come out firing both barrels. You better be prepared. He's going to launch everything. It wasn't that way at all. It was calm. It was reasoned. And for those watching Trump to learn a little bit about him, there wasn't anything about it that was threatening.
Rush Limbaugh, by the way, is battling stage 4 lung cancer. I've been listening regularly to Rush Limbaugh for more than 20 years now, and he's been on the air for more than 30 years. As Limbaugh said recently, he started out primarily as an entertainer, but moved to chiefly political commentary when he realized that people were tuning into his show because his political views resonated with vast numbers of Americans. Limbaugh's ability to zero in on key issues with penetrating insight and powerful information is one of a kind and irreplaceable. Millions of his listeners are praying daily for him. He continues undaunted as much as possible with his show and his powerful messages of belief in the fundamental goodness of America and its future promise. The upcoming 2020 elections of the U.S. are shaping up to be a monumental political struggle, with the future of our American way of life and Western civilization hanging in the balance. The U.S. Democratic Party, now largely a political front organization for communists and globalists, is pushing hard to win the 2020 elections at any cost and push through their agenda of radical transformation of America, subjugating it to the widely touted New World Order, the establishment elites so often refer to. It's sad to say, but the Democrats of today are mostly despicable people who are hell-bent to utterly destroy America as we know it and to transform it into their brainwashed vision of some kind of socialist utopia. The amazing thing is many of these people are filthy rich if they side with the communists, calling for the end of capitalism and private property, a la Black Lives Matter. These idiots somehow believe that they will keep their wealth, but the rest of us will give up ours for the better of humankind. Their outrageous hypocrisy is part of what makes them despicable. They lie and then accuse their opponents of lying. They have great wealth but call for their opponents to give up theirs. Democrat-run state and local governments are gearing up, as I speak, to mail some 80 million – last show I reported 42 million. Now it's 80 million paper ballots that don't require ID to mail back to everyone they can find in the hopes of a massive turnout for Democrats and the political left. This, by the way, was the real reason for mass legal and illegal immigration, and has been all along, is to take over the country, not humanitarianism. With the despicable Hillary Clinton's recent pronouncement that Democrat presidential candidate Joe Biden should not under any circumstances concede defeat after the elections is a telling warning that the powerful forces behind Biden and the Democrats are making an all-out push for political takeover this November and to hell with the election results if they don't favor Biden and the Democrats. The president and many others are warning about the dangers of this massive mail-in ballot push being peddled to the American public as necessary due to people being scared to vote in person because of the pandemic. Trump warned about this in his first speech at the beginning of the Republican National Convention on August 24th. Here's Alex Jones of Infowars.com commenting on Trump's warning. Play soundbite 3, please.
Trump has fired the bat signal. He said, I need you to stop the 80 million fake ballots that are meant to gum up everything. I need you to be vigilant. I need your help. We're fighting for our very life. We have an outside force trying to destroy our economy. And today, he said it's the most important election in U.S. history. It's the most important election in world history. We are living history right now. Every day is like a century. The countdown, the energy in the air, you could cut it with a knife. You could not have higher stakes. Here's the president just an hour ago.
Some really bad things. We have to be very careful because they're trying it again with this whole 80 million mail-in ballots that they're working on, sending them out to people that didn't ask for them. They didn't ask. They just get them. And it's not fair, and it's not right, and it's not going to be possible to tabulate, in my opinion. It's just my opinion. We have to be very, very careful. And you have to watch. Every one of you, you have to watch. Because bad things happened last time with the spying on our campaign, and that goes to Biden, and that goes to Obama. And we have to be very, very careful. We have to be very, very careful. And this time they're trying to do it with the whole post office scam. They'll blame it on the post office. You could see them setting it up. Be very careful and watch it very carefully, because we have to win. This is the most important election in the history of our country.
President Trump is now speaking live in Charlotte, North Carolina. We now take you live.
Now, if you want to really drive him crazy, you say 12 more years.
12 more years.
Because
12 more years.
We caught them doing some really bad things in 2016. Let's see what happens. We caught them doing some really bad things. We have to be very careful because they're trying it again with this whole 80 million mail-in ballots that they're working on. Sending them out to people that didn't ask for them. They didn't ask. They just get them. And it's not fair, and it's not right, and it's not going to be possible to tabulate, in my opinion. It's just my opinion. We have to be very, very careful. And you have to watch. Every one of you, you have to watch. Because bad things happened last time with the spying on our campaign, and that goes to Biden, and that goes to Obama. And we have to be very, very careful. We have to be very, very careful. And this time they're trying to do it with the whole post office scam. They'll blame it on the post office. You could see them setting it up. Be very careful and watch it very carefully, because we have to win. This is the most important election in the history of our country. This is the most, you know, for a long period of time, I would say, well, 2016, how special was that evening? Was that one of the great? That was one of the great evenings. But we have to be very, very careful, and we have to win. Our country is counting on it. This is the biggest. This is it. Our country can go in a horrible, horrible direction, or in an even greater direction. And before the plague came in from China, that's where we were going. We were going in a direction like we had never seen. The most successful economy in the history of our country, the best unemployment numbers in history for African American, Asian American, Hispanic American, women, college students, bad students, good students, everybody. If you had a diploma, if you didn't have a diploma, it didn't matter. You were doing well. Everybody was doing well. And we were actually coming together. You know, success brings people together. Maybe better than anything else. Success brings people. So many times they say, we're divided. Well, we were very divided under President Obama. Very divided. People have no idea how divided. They didn't talk about it as much. They didn't say it as much. But we were really coming together. Speaking with Democrats all of a sudden, because the success, the markets were at an all-time high. And by the way, take a look at what's happening with the markets. Take a look at your 401ks, which you probably do every hour. Take a look at your stocks. We're very close to breaking the record, and NASDAQ has already done it. You know, NASDAQ has broken the record, I think, 16 times already during a pandemic. Hopefully we'll call it the final phase of a pandemic. You know, Biden the other day said, no, he'd shut it down. He'd listen to some guy say, and he'd shut it down. We just broke a record on jobs, an all-time record. There's never been 3 months where we've put more people to work, over 9 million people. And again, we're just about ready to break the all-time stock market record. I mean, you look at it, we're just about ready to do it again.
All right, let's stop right there. We're going to come back to more of this. It's live right now. We're going to pause it. We'll go back to more of it. But I want to get to the calls and make you front and center. But everything he's saying is totally true. And the corrupt deep state that sold us out to China, that does not believe this country should exist, that wants a global currency, that wants to get us out of the way, and then bring in their new world order values, that if you think our police have got problems and our government's had problems, our government is a fantasy land, wonderland, heaven system compared to communist China and places like that. My God, everybody knows that. And so you think our system has problems? Yeah, that's called due process. It's got its own issues. And of course, we become a decadent slob-like nation. Not all of us, but a lot of us, myself included. I mean, I can talk about how we need to be tough and strong and in shape and everything, but I like to eat a whole pizza as much as the next guy. The difference is I can recognize I got problems compared to other people that just don't care and live in la-la land, and they think they're on a bandwagon of what's popular, hating the president, hating America, when they're literally on the bandwagon funded by the EU, the globalist, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, the Chi-Coms, that think this country was done, that want to totally enslave you. And Trump doesn't think you're done.
Common knowledge these days, at least among the more aware of us, that communist China, oligarchs and multinational corporations, who are, by the way, making a lot of money doing business with and conspiring with communist China, and other globalist elites of the European Union, the World Economic Forum, and related organizations are working diligently and pouring billions into defeating Trump. As I said, their goal is to take over America and transform it in furtherance of their political, economic, and social ambitions. This is all very scary and too much for many ordinary people to comprehend. But the evidence is all over the place and overwhelming if you're willing to open your eyes and look for it. Sadly, too many people today are dumbed down and mired in misinformation about what's really happening by the misinformation mainstream media, including the tech giants with their social media monopolies that are threatened if Trump remains in office. Here's more from Alex Jones, September 1, about these misinformation campaigns that are keeping millions of people from seeing the truth of the political situation today. Play soundbite 4, please.
Wanted to show you an incredible example of what they call gaslighting. Let's read the definition. Gaslighting is a form of psychological manipulation in which a person or group covertly sows seeds of doubt in a targeted individual or group, making them question their own memory, perception, or judgment, often evoking in them cognitive dissonance and or other changes, including low self-esteem, denial, misdirection, contradiction, misinformation. And that's what mainstream media is. All these hundreds of angles, Axios, that's really MSNBC. You've got all the Vice and the CNNs all together getting the same DNC, Chi-Com talking points and telling you that black isn't black, that white isn't white, that up isn't up, that down isn't down. It's 1984. 2 + 2 does not equal 4. So I woke up this morning and saw a Paul Joseph Watson article about this at InfoWars.com. Here's the Bloomberg article. Exclusive. Bloomberg Group warns Trump will appear to win big on election night, but will really lose. And they go on to say, don't believe your eyes that evening when it looks like he wins in a landslide. Don't believe the polls that show he's going to win in a landslide. Just know that because of the 80 million mail-in ballots that are being sent across the country, which is unprecedented and illegal in most areas, that Democrats, because they're scared of COVID, are going to vote with those. And because there'll be so many of them, because it's not going to work on day one, that we're going to have to drag this out and contest the election. Well, Hillary and John Podesta and all of them said months ago in internal documents that leaked to the New York Times that they know they're going to lose in a landslide, so they're going to contest and, quote, drag it out, as Hillary Clinton just said last week on Politico.
You know, Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances, because I think this is going to drag out, and eventually I do believe he will win if we don't give an inch and if we are as focused and relentless as the other side is.
This is the very definition of mind control, because they've been saying for 6 months, Trump is going to contest the election. When he does, it's illegal to contest an election, he must be thrown out of office, which is not illegal to contest an election. We've had many of them. Then they say, oh, but we're definitely going to contest no matter what because they know they're going to lose, and then we're going to just feed in as many of these 80 million ballots as we've got stockpiled to where you can never figure out who really won, so they can then contest it and have states secede and break away and have their own inauguration for Joe Biden. So this is the real plan to totally destabilize the United States even further than what you've seen. So they admit that a top Democrat firm funded by Michael Bloomberg, who ran against Trump, as well as a group now funded with $300 million by Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, are coming out with this plan to make sure we all accept the mail-in paper ballots that have been magically mailed out to everybody. So the very groups that are losing are now telling us, don't believe our eyes on the day of the election, and just know that they're going to contest it in their blue cities and blue states and hold the stock market hostage, as I've been predicting they would do.
Former New York City mayor and former RINO, that's Republican in name only, Michael Bloomberg, whose news service article was being mentioned by Alex Jones in that last audio clip, is in bed with the Communist Chinese Party. Bloomberg does a lot of business in and is heavily invested in Communist China. I have mentioned on a past show a news article citing that Bloomberg had changed some indices on his financial information service, which could steer $150 billion into Chinese state banks for an undisclosed amount in fees. How many billions do you think those fees entail? The drive to use the pandemic to transform America, and with it the rest of the world, into subjugation to a new world environmental, political, and economic order run by oligarchs and the government elites is truly international in scope. Let's listen to excerpts from an August 31 broadcast of Remnant TV with host, the Remnant editor, Michael J. Matt. The Remnant is a traditionalist Catholic newspaper. This program is a discussion of the World Economic Forum annual meetings at Davos, Switzerland, where globalist oligarch business and political leaders plot to achieve world government. The program focuses on these elites' efforts to use the coronavirus pandemic to accomplish their goals. In these excerpts, you'll hear audio from WEF founder Klaus Schwab, the monster leftist billionaire George Soros, formerly known as Georgi Swartz, who's dedicated most of his billions to this cause and recently poured some $250 million into the coffers of the communist Black Lives Matter movement. You'll also hear commentary from Britain's Prince Charles, German leader Angela Merkel, left-wing Pope Francis's representative Jeffrey Sachs, UN and business leaders, even the old climate change fanatic Al Gore, calling the pandemic Thermopylae, Dunkirk, the Battle of the Bulge, and 9/11. The Remnant TV program is titled The Great Reset. That's what the globalists are calling it. Davos, The Great Reset, Davos and the Plot to Cancel Trump. Play sound by five, please.
I consider the Trump administration a danger to the world that will disappear in 2020.
What if I told you that Bill Gates, Greta Thunberg, Al Gore, George Soros, Prince Charles, and Cardinal Turkson were meeting in the mountains to plot a global new order to be established on the back of the COVID pandemic? An outrageous movie plot? Or is it absolutely true? Donald Trump and the Davos Connection, tonight from the editor's desk. Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Matt coming to you once again from the offices of the Remnant newspaper. Here's something you're not apt to hear on mainstream media. Of the 18 million people in the world who've been infected with the coronavirus, 10.6 million have recovered. This is according to the latest figures from Johns Hopkins University. In other words, the vast majority of COVID patients fully recover. This doesn't even factor in that the millions who've contracted it recovered and didn't even know they had it. Friends, we need to have a talk. I mean, let's be really clear right from the outset. COVID-19 is not a hoax, okay? Worldwide, over 650,000 people, mostly elderly, have succumbed to it. This is not a hoax. Even with skewed death reporting, which we know is going on all over the place, this is a very serious virus. But so was the H1N1, the swine flu of 2009, which claimed the lives of 500,000 people. So was the Hong Kong flu of 1968, which claimed the lives of up to 4 million people. Flu is a nasty business. Now, do you remember these previous epidemics, pandemics? Probably not. Why? Because the media didn't freak us out over those. The country wasn't shut down. Healthy people were not quarantined. Schools weren't closed. Church services weren't canceled. Why not? Because COVID is a thoroughly politicized virus. And we're getting conflicting recommendations from the experts that get just a little more absurd every week. People are losing their jobs. They're losing their homes. They're losing their mental health over this. Their kids aren't going back to school. They can't go to church. We need to get very serious about it. We need to have a serious conversation about it. Here at The Remnant, we've been saying since March, since the outset of this thing, that it's not the virus that we're questioning. I don't want to get the virus. I know you don't. I know some of you have lost loved ones or friends or whatever from the virus. I've known quite a few folks now who've gotten it. I don't know anyone who died. Everyone who I know, thanks be to God, has recovered. But it was never the virus that's the problem. It's the political exploitation of the pandemic, the COVID pandemic, that really, really must give all of us now serious cause for concern about the future. They're not playing games here. This isn't going anywhere. This isn't going away. And don't take my word for it. I wouldn't expect you to do that anyway. Let's talk about Davos, Switzerland. Here's where the leaders of the world are admitting exactly what I'm saying, that this is a Trojan horse. Now, in Davos, they call it the Great Reset. And it's scheduled now to kick off in January 2021. And if you want to know what's really going on here, if you want to know why the schools are probably, many of them are not going to open in the fall, if you want to know why you're wearing that dehumanizing face mask, even in your car, look to Davos.
Now is the historical moment, the time, not only to fight severe virus, but to shape the system.
We have a unique but rapidly shrinking window of opportunity to learn lessons and reset ourselves on a more sustainable path.
What is it that would make it so that history would look at this crisis as the great opportunity for reset?
The Great Reset is a welcome recognition that this human tragedy must be a wake-up call.
The world's problems fit on three sides of a triangle. It's one versus many, man versus nature, and the unfortunate foundation is long-term versus short-term.
Any recovery stimulus should have green conditions attached to it.
We have to change our economy dramatically in the next 20 or 30 years, and the next 10 years is absolutely decisive.
The recovery has to be greener than any of the previous recoveries.
And then we need to couple that with new initiatives to equip more people with the digital skills they'll need.
We have to live up to the expectations which we have created, and we will do so.
On June 2nd, 2020, just a few months ago, a couple months ago, the founder now of the World Economic Forum in Davos, Klaus Schwab, wrote an article on their website in which he just comes right out with it. He says that COVID pandemic represents a, quote, rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world, end quote. Those aren't my words. Those are his words. The world must act jointly and swiftly, says Mr. Schwab, to, quote, revamp all aspects of our societies and economies, from education to social contracts and working conditions. Every country, from the United States to China, must participate, and every industry, from oil and gas to tech, must be transformed, end quote. And Mr. Schwab comes right out and admits that he can't do this without, you guessed it, Bill Gates.
We are particularly committed to this initiative since the forum has been at the origin in its annual meeting in Davos of the Global Fund, Gavi, and CEPI. together with the Gates Foundation and other founders of those crucial organizations, particularly today.
And they're all there. All the movers and shakers of the world are in Davos at one time or another. Even Prince Charles, the insufferable Prince of Wales, got into the act in Davos in January.
Unless we take the action necessary and we build again in a greener and more sustainable and more inclusive way, then we will end up having more and more pandemics and more disasters from ever accelerating global warming and climate change. So this is the one moment, as you've all been saying, when we have to make as much progress as we can.
And of course, Antonio Guterres, the former Prime Minister of Portugal, who's also a Catholic and is now serving as the Secretary General of the United Nations, he's in Davos chiming in as well.
A microscopic virus has closed down entire countries and economies. The Great Reset is a welcome recognition that this human tragedy must be a wake-up call. As we rebuild, redesign, reinvigorate, and rebalance our world.
Friends, the full picture should begin to emerge now, and I'm just giving you a sample. I mean, everyone has spoken here. Everyone who is anyone in the globalist community has gone to Davos, has delivered speeches. They come together, they network, they plan our future.
This transformation essentially means that the whole way that we do business, that we live, and that we have grown accustomed to in the industrial age will have to be changed. We will have to leave that behind us in the next 30 years ago.
This COVID thing is their golden opportunity, and they certainly don't want Trump or anyone else to fix the problem, certainly not prematurely. And this is what the war on hydroxychloroquine is all about. I mean, think about this. Why? You mention hydroxychloroquine and you get taken off Facebook? You get taken down from YouTube? Why? This thing's been going for 60 years. People use it all the time. Well, if you use it, you might have a heart attack, so we got to condemn that. Why are they doing this? This is a therapeutic that works for a lot of people. Doctors all over the place are using it right now, but they don't want it. Why? Why? Because it's not a vaccine. Because it might fix the problem. This is why those frontline doctors in the white coats, that's why they were banned from social media. Many of them are now losing their jobs. They were frontline heroes. And all they did wrong was come out and talk about fixing the thing now.
...of the generation of people alive today is a challenge to our moral imagination. But this is Thermopylae. This is Agincourt. This is the Battle of the Bulge. This is Dunkirk. This is 9/11. We have to rise to this occasion.
I can't believe this guy is still knocking around. It's unbelievable. It's like a spoof, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's Al again. I mean, and it's the same. And Davos brings them all in, all the ghouls from the globalist swamp. Because COVID is a thoroughly politicized virus. Wow. I think you know. I think we all sort of in our hearts, we kind of realize what's going on here. This is not about COVID anymore. This is about a reset of everything. And the United States of America is in the way right now of all of it. So they are destabilizing our entire country. The Great Reset, then, politically, economically, it wants to implement massive socialist programs. And, of course, global climate change along the lines of the Green New Deal. The regulation is going to be unbelievable. And no one, no country will be allowed to opt out of this. Everyone's in on the Great Reset. Well, almost everyone. There's one guy who's got the power to do something to stop it, and you know exactly where I'm going. And they made a mistake. They tried to get Trump on their side, so they invited Donald Trump to Davos, I think a couple of times. But in January, when Donald Trump, I think, really began to see the beast that he was up against, he went to Davos, yeah, to the World Economic Forum, and he stuck a mega finger in their eye.
We're committed to conserving the majesty of God's creation and the natural beauty of our world. But to embrace the possibilities of tomorrow, we must reject the perennial prophets of doom and their predictions of the apocalypse. These alarmists always demand the same thing, absolute power to dominate, transform, and control every aspect of our lives. We will never let radical socialists destroy our economy, wreck our country.
2 days after Donald Trump gave that speech, the 89-year-old leftist weirdo billionaire George Soros made an emergency intervention where, at Davos, once again, warning that the U.S. 2020 election will determine the, quote, fate of the whole world. Now, in the context of Davos, take a look at this one more time. This is a month after Donald Trump addressed Davos and stuck the MAGA finger in their face. Here's what Francis, the Vatican, and Jeffrey Sachs had to say in response.
And it is a dangerous country right now. It will be absolutely dangerous if Trump wins re-election. Trump wins re-election. Trump wins re-election.
Francis invited this guy to the Amazon Senate as an honored guest and advisor. He's also Bernie Sanders' advisor. What's he doing in the Vatican? Why is this guy who is a promoter for socialist, out and out socialist, Bernie Sanders, what's he doing advising the Pope? Why does he have entree to the Vatican, friends? Sachs supports abortion and contraception, but that's not a problem for the Vatican. For the Vatican, for Pope Francis, and for his friends at the UN, Donald Trump is the problem, obviously, friends.
Clearly, I consider the Trump administration a danger to the world, but I regard it as a purely temporary phenomenon that will disappear in 2020.
Do you get it? Do you see why there's so much hate for Trump? Because with all of his faults, again, he's the capitalist. He's not the globalist. He never will be one of them, which is why he pulled the United States out of the Paris Climate Agreement. Donald Trump pulled the United States out of the World Health Organization. That's Bill Gates and company. And now he's threatening to pull the United States out of the World Trade Organization. People say, yeah, well, Donald Trump got married twice. He's a bad guy. Really? He's right in the face of the demons on this, friends. Nobody ever said he was a saint. He's knocking the sacred cows of the United Nations down all over the world right now.
The General Assembly routinely votes 185 against the United States on almost everything right now.
And you remember, speaking of the United Nations, in November of 2019, again, right before COVID landed, Trump went to the UN on the floor of the General Assembly, and he declared war on globalism.
Wise leaders always put the good of their own people and their own country first. The future does not belong to globalists. The future belongs to patriots.
And shortly after the speech at the UN, Donald Trump delivered, what do you think happened? The coronavirus was unleashed on the world, and Trump's booming U.S. economy went on life support. Do you think that was an accident? So when they tell you, when they tell all of us to stay home, wear your mask so grandma doesn't get sick, please understand what's really going on here. They don't care about your grandmother. They don't care about old people, these people. They don't care about babies. They want them aborted so that they can save the common home. Abort babies, millions of them all over the world. They don't care about babies. They don't care about old people. In fact, if you want to save your grandma, tell the globalists to stay the hell away from her. You remember how some of them, like Cuomo and characters like this, were running COVID recovering patients through nursing homes? That's how much they care about grandma. And the name of the game now is to bring the United States economy to its knees, get it out of the way, so that everyone will want the Great Reset. Make the new normal so intolerably abnormal that even you and I, maybe, you know, at some point in the near future, we'll be begging for the vaccines because we'll be driven crazy by that point. Begging for whatever else is going to keep us safe, according to our jailers and our handlers and our zookeepers. You see, that's what they want. That's why they keep using this term new normal. You know what we do to fight back? Go to work. Go back to school. If you're healthy, take off the mask. And for heaven's sake, go back to church and pray that Trump wins in November. That's what the reset was on. That's what the Russia hoax was all about. That's what the impeachment hoax was all about. Don't you see? For 4 years, I've been trying to stop this man, because if he strengthens America, if he makes it great again, if he brings the economy back again, the reset won't happen. The new world order is going to be set way back. Who knows when they're going to have another COVID opportunity like this one again, and they know it. So ask yourselves why they hate this man. These folks, these men, they hate God. They hate the unborn. They hate the traditional family. They hate you. And they hate Donald Trump. whose political opponents, by the way, right now are knocking statues of saints to the ground. They're beating up cops, and they're burning flags. You say you don't like Trump. I'm sorry, friends, but who cares? That doesn't really matter anymore. But you think of Trump's personality or his tweets. Look at the big picture. The choice is simple, friends. Stand with America right now, or fall with the New World Order in the not-so-distant future. There's no other choice. I'm Michael Matt for Remnant TV, and we'll see you next week.
While it's disturbing, it's also humorous to me that so many people get upset about Trump and his tweets. They claim he doesn't have the personality to be president. And I personally love it that he finally stands up. We have someone who finally stands up to these people who bully and intimidate and humiliate and expect you, if you're a conservative, if you're not one of the leftists, you don't believe in communism, then you're supposed to sit there and take it. Trump doesn't do that. I love his tweets for the most part, even though he's probably not the only one writing them. But in any event, my friends, we are not kidding or being melodramatic when we warn that this election is the most important, certainly in our lifetimes. And don't give any credence to all the misinformation campaigns out there meant to dissuade you from voting. If you don't vote, you're voting for Joe Biden and the New World Order. And I'm concerned about how all this is going to play out with these 80 million ballots. We really have to do a lot there. We have to be ready. We have to have people out there on our side looking at all the elections, local, state, federal, looking at these ballots and seeing, you know, challenging them if they're, you know, coming in to see who's really voting. It's easy to vote. If you're afraid of getting sick by voting in person, there's still time to register to vote if you haven't already and request an absentee ballot. Absentee ballots are fine. These are not the mass mail-in ballots the left hopes to be will be counted no matter who or where they come from. Just be sure to mail in your ballot as soon as possible and well before the deadline so it can be counted. I am a little worried that there are too many leftist USPS workers who may attempt to sabotage absentee ballots by not delivering them. They're being told Trump wants to destroy their pensions. We must do everything we can to be sure our votes are counted. Don't listen to the opposition's efforts to discourage you from voting, no matter what they are saying. And don't get complacent that Trump is going to win. Remember the ancient philosopher Lao Tzu's warning: there is no greater danger than underestimating your opponent. Well, that's it for another show. Look for us again in this same time slot 2 weeks from now, and have a good weekend. Have a good evening and the rest of your holiday weekend. Good night.